Onslaught, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Friday morning. Yes, a couple days before the conference finals. Getting excited, getting sad. Down to three games in total. And joining me right now to sum it all up, fiddling with the knobs, spaghetti and meatballs, producing this mess, babyface Joel Solomon. And with me, as always, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
I got lost in my words and my emotion. I mean, I didn't even mention that you're my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds. But I think people know that by now, right, Harry?
Pretty much, sure.
Do they know? I hope that you guys bet every single day on extrapoints.com. You give out free games. A lot of the time, they win. You can go to extrapoints.com/arcade. We have our free-to-play prop quiz, our head-to-head. Hit us up. There you go. You win. You get a gold hat. We're running out of opportunities here. Like I said, only three games remaining. Hey, we have, speaking of making money, this guy might need money. Babyface Solomon, what did you do here? This guy Jacob Bruss is coming on the show. We went from Knoxville to the guy who ran on the field at the Chiefs-Bills game.
You asked me to get one of the great plays from the Chiefs-Bills game. You told me to try to get someone from that game, and we got
right.
him. We got him.
He did.
It's not a lot of yards, but we're close.
He ran on the field, got tackled by Stephon Diggs. It was a $1,000 dare. You could see video of the dare, right? The challenge. We got to see if he got the $1,000 or if he spent more than that bailing himself out. I don't know how it works, but you say he's going to be on here?
I hope. That's the plan. I mean, and unlike Harry, I hope he doesn't get cold feet.
Yeah. Oh. Well, have you dealt with his publicist before? Is it reliable?
This is who, Harry's publicist or?
Yeah, Harry's publicist.
No.
All right, let's get to the games. We got two left. As I said, the early one, Chiefs at home in Arrowhead, 7-point favorite, 54.5 against the Bengals. Jacob Bruss's Chiefs. They dispose of the Bills in a classic, classic game. I haven't given out one. Are you all right, Harry?
Yeah.
Is that you? Okay. All right. We'll get through this. Don't worry. Yeah, I got to get to the Jacob Bruss interview. I'm playing a teaser here. I don't usually give this out in this segment, you know, this Friday thing where we pick the games. I'm playing a teaser. Kansas City -1 and under 60.5. I really, really feel strongly about the fact that the Chiefs are going to win. But I feel just as strong as that the Bengals are going to play it close. And I'm not getting a lot of leeway. I'm getting the 7. So I think this is the way to do it. I worry about the hangover effect here a little, guys. The Chiefs played Sunday. They're going to have less of a rest than Cincinnati, who advanced on Saturday. And I think they have even less of that rest. They have, after playing the greatest game that anyone's ever witnessed, they're probably just coming down from that high like yesterday, right? On Thursday. I don't think Burrow screws this up. I get it. The offensive line could not have been worse last week against the Titans, and they still survived, gave up 9 sacks. It's a ridiculous number. Don't forget, though, I don't think it's going to happen again. The Chiefs defense didn't light it up against Josh Allen. They only had 2. Against Big Ben, they only had 3. Against the Bengals, not even a month ago, they had none. 0 when they played on January 6th, I believe. I'm going with Cincinnati to keep it close. I actually think the Chiefs could be losing early on. Bengals do their thing, get out to a fastish start as they did in the last couple games or leading at halftime. Low scoring game. They blow it out at the end. The Chiefs do when Mahomes does his thing with Hill and Kelsey and Pringle heat up. 28-22 final. Give me the Chiefs -1 and under 60.5. Harry, I don't love that you're on the Bengals, but you're buying it up. I don't know where you have this money all of a sudden. You're buying this spread up.
I'm buying it up. I'm buying the Bengals to 7.5. Look, Cincy's D has been playing fantastic. They held Derek Carr, Derek Henry in check in both their wins, giving up just 35 points in the two games combined. This is a team that many people thought that was just happy to be here, but not really. That's how Joe Burrow rolls. He's been fantastic. About 4 weeks ago, he beat Kansas City, put up 446 yards, 4 touchdowns, outplayed Mahomes in that game. They won that game. Team has tons of confidence. You know, Kansas City in that Buffalo game, exhausted on defense. Listen, I just think that this is a situation where Kansas City's defense, which is 27th in the league, against the pass and yards against. Burrow can dice them up and throw Mixon in there too. I'm taking the Bengals to keep this close. I'm not saying they win the game, but I am going to take the 7.5.
All right, you have been on them for a while. Like I said, Bill Simmons Sunday night said, Harry's been on the Bengals, and I let him go. But you did take him plus 430 to make the playoffs. You like the Browns to go to the Super Bowl. You've been going with this bombs away thing, though, Harry. It hasn't really been bombs away. What, 26 against the Raiders, 19 against the Titans? Good enough to win, I guess. All right.
348 yards, though, against the Titans defense. Everyone claimed it was really good. So we'll see what happens on Sunday.
No touchdown passes. All right. I'm with you, though. I'm with you. Bri, you're with us, too. You're buying it up.
Yeah, well, you know, the FanDuel's offering plus 7.5 at minus 120. So it's really, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good bet there. But I can't believe I'm doing this. I felt like this is what I did last week. I was all ready for a Chiefs-Rams money line parlay. And now, not to say I still might put a ton of money on that. But, I do think, I'm not going to say they necessarily start out slow, the Chiefs, but I could see the defense struggling right out of the gate. The Chiefs had that stretch where their defense played really well, but it's kind of been back to being a little bit poor recently, especially against the pass. But the Bengals are 6-0 against the spread in their last six, 7-2 against the spread on the road this season. And those are covering those games by big margins. And they're, they were 7-3 as an underdog. I know that's probably the same. A lot of that's the same as the road games, but all the numbers are pointing to Cincy covering. And I'm going to trust I didn't get a chance to do it last week. I mean, I kind of hate them because they beat the Raiders the game before. But I want to root against the Chiefs in this one. I want to root for Burrow. I think he's going to make a bunch of plays against this team. And I do think he proved that in that last game, that second half against the Chiefs, that he's going to be able to score on them. So give me the 7.5.
All right, set us straight here, Parlay Kid. Kansas City in Arrowhead playoffs.
Yeah, you guys are overthinking it. You're overthinking it here, guys.
Go ahead.
Kind of lost in the shuffle, a couple things. One, the Chiefs lost Tyrann Mathieu the other day during that game. That was a huge loss. Mm-hmm. I expect him back. I mean, just reading the reports that things are kind of looking pretty good for him for this weekend. If he plays, that's a huge, huge for the Chiefs. So I'm rolling the dice on that. And I'm also thinking that, Cincinnati here, Raiders, Titans, they've had a kind of a nice road to get here. I don't think they could have really written a better script for them to this point. And I think they are kind of just happy to be here. That's my thing. I think they've reached their pinnacle right now. The Chiefs are the better team. The Chiefs will pressure Burrow, put enough pressure on him to force him into a big mistake or two. This game might stay close for a bit, but eventually Mahomes will catch fire. They'll score some quick TDs and they will pull away late. They'll cover the 7 here, Sal.
By the way, I bet the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I bet a ticket off of Prop Swap. You go to the Prop Swap app and you bet it. I took them plus 120. I think I got plus 125. I bought it. I didn't even take a look. I'm like, I'm doing it. So I feel like I'm covered either way. I think there's good value in that Super Bowl. We gave out those picks earlier in the week. So there you go. I like the Chiefs to win. I know I'm painting myself in a corner here, but I do like the Chiefs to win this game, but the Bengals to cover. Let's go over some props here. Bengals plus 4.5 first half. Really, my Super Bowl pick is really, really tinkering here. So I do think the Chiefs do get off to a slow start. I think it's going to be similar to what they did against the Steelers. Meanwhile, Bengals led by 7 over the Raiders at half, 0-3 over the Titans at half. I think I'm not going to talk about it too much. 13-10, 13-13, right around there in the first half. Bengals getting the 4.5 number is a big number. And like I said, a little bit of a hangover factor there. That's my prop. One of my props, Bengals plus 4.5 first half. You guys have player props here. Brother Bri, Mixon. I'll actually do the other one. First half,
yeah,
Chiefs
well,
win.
It's similar to what you kind of just gave out and what your whole narrative is, right? So I do kind of like the odds of this. The Bengals winning after the first half and then the Chiefs win the game, that's plus 650. The Bengals have come out well in the two playoff games so far, leading at halftime in both of them. And then they kind of faltered in both second halves where they could have lost the game in both of those games. And I think this could be like a reverse game of what we saw the last time these two teams played when the Chiefs got up early and then the Bengals took control in the second half. And you remember this, like, I think this kind of happened right on that Chiefs playoff run, right? A few years ago where they started off poorly early.
Right.
And then they just came back. They came back late second quarter into the second half and took control of those games. So again, I think the Chiefs win here, but I do think they get off to, you know, they fall behind a little early.
What odds is it? What odds do you get for this?
Plus 650.
It's tough because there's two games left. But last week, the Niners did it, right? They were losing at half and won. It does seem every week there's, if you can get plus five, plus 650 in a slate where there's four or six games, it's good. The Bills were beating the pay. I'm trying to look back. Cowboys weren't winning at half. The Bucks were winning at half. Steelers. All right. Yeah, it didn't work for you. That first week. That first week was shit. Let's just forget that wild card week ever even happened. How great the games were last week. All right, Harry, what's your prop?
Let's go Kelce. I'm going to take a Kansas City Chief. I'm going to take Kelce over 72.5 receiving yards at minus 122. He's averaging 102 in the playoffs so far. He's as clutch as clutch gets. Last five playoff games, he's had 96 or more in all five of them. He's fantastic. Averaging 16 yards a catch in the playoffs this year. Kelce over 72.5. Just seems like it's automatic.
All right. Parlay kid, you're all over Mahomes. Give us both your Mahomes props.
Well, look, Sal, you know, anytime I see this over touchdown prop, Mahomes at plus 116 to go over 2.5 touchdown passes against a Cincinnati secondary, that's okay. I always look at the fact that Eli Apple is back there, and I always wonder how they're winning with him in their secondary, but somehow they are. But yeah, over 2.5, Sal, he's had 8 here in the last two games. We know that he can light it up for 3 at any point. It could be in the first half where he throws for 3 touchdowns. He occasionally gets one of those flips for a touchdown when they're on the 1-yard line, or he can go 80 yards down the field for 1. So anytime I can get Mahomes touchdowns over 2.5 at a plus number, I'm going to take it, especially here in this game against Cincinnati. And my other one is Mahomes' longest pass at 30 completion at 37.5 yards. So Mahomes has gone over this in 9 out of his last 10 games.
Wow, I like this.
The only time he didn't go over, he threw for a 37-yarder. So he was right there anyway. And, you know, I like this one. It's a fun one because it could happen at any time. He wasn't over this the other day until he hit Tyreek Hill streaking across the middle on the peace sign touchdown late in the game is when that went over. But it can happen at any time. It could happen on the first play of the game. It could happen on the last play of the game for the Chiefs. So it gives you something to root for, too, that, you know, that could take you late into the game. So I like the over 37.5 yard longest completion from Mahomes as well.
Do they have, now without looking, for longest reception for Hill? Because it almost has to be Hill that gets this, right? I mean, it doesn't have to
be. Could
be
Hardman.
The Hill ones are usually like, what, 26.5?
Oh, really? Oh, man, I would say that was good, too.
25.5, 26.5?
Yeah, he's usually around 26, 27.5. Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it. 76, Harry Kill. Yeah, now they have alternate. All right, they'll put it up. They'll put it up soon, but I'm not seeing it just yet. Interesting though. I might do both of those. Mahomes over 37.5 and whatever Hill is, because I think he's going to be the guy that gets his regular yards are 76.5. All right. I have a Mahomes prop too. Sorry, Harry. He's going to have more passing yards than Joe Burrow. He had more than Allen. He had more than Big Ben. He had more than Locke the game before. I know he against Burrow bludgeoned him, but before that he led in 2 in a row. I think he's 15-4 this year in this prop to have more passing yards than his counterpart. It's not always minus 110. A lot of times it's minus 240, minus 250. But I think they come from behind a little bit here. He's going to have to throw more than, maybe not more than he did against the Bills, but more than normal and more than Burrow. So I like him at minus 110 to have the most passing or more passing yards than Burrow, more than anybody on the Bengals team for that matter. What are we saying? 24.5? You're saying this for?
Yeah. Bills at 24.5 at minus 114 for his longest reception. That's not bad, Sal, right?
That's a good one. All right, I'm writing that down. Writing it down. All right, Harry, you like Chase. Of course, you love Chase all over the place.
I do. He's a superstar.
You liked him yesterday, too.
I'm going to go over 82.5 receiving yards at minus 114. Again, he went off in that game against Kansas City. Best game as a pro. Torched the Chiefs secondary for 266 yards and three touchdowns. Had a 72-yard touchdown in that game in the jungle. Playoff so far this season, he's leading Cincinnati in receptions and yards. He's got 225 in two games, over 100 in both those games. In four of his last five games, he's gone over 100. So over 82.5, give me that all day.
All right. And Brother Bri, finish it off here.
Yeah, I like that, Harry. Yeah, I'm going to go Mixon over 29.5 receiving yards. You know, Mixon's been a big threat as a receiver, especially over the last four games, I think it's been. But he's averaging six catches and 47 yards over those four games. So, the Chiefs, if they get a good pass rush, I think this, you know, similar to last week, and Burrow probably checked down to him a lot quickly like he did last week. But, you know, the Chiefs gave up the third most receiving yards to running backs this season, which I think like 50 something yards per game they gave up. So I think mixing it over 29.5 seems like a good one.
All right, let's jump into our first touchdown picks. They've not been great. Harry actually saved us this weekend. You had two, right? Two of the four? All right, and the rest of us had none. I mean, we were 0 for 28 before this weekend, right? You picked the first game this weekend? What was the Bengals-Titans?
No, it was the...
lost that one, too, right?
Dylan with the Packers.
Right, so you got two of the last three. I was talking to the parlor, like, yeah, we were talking. This just seems harder than it used to be. I don't know what it is. It's the same players every freaking week. They're only going against one team. It's just the same starters. And yes, we're a little gun shy, but we're still probably 65, 70 units in the plus. And you should stick with us because we're great at this overall. Just keep pounding them. But I look at a guy like Tay Higgins, almost 1,100 yards, six touchdowns, basically what he had last year. He's 11-1 for the first touchdown. He's another guy who's due. I can't even say he scored in the last four. He's gotten three games without a touchdown reception. But I just think the value is here at 11-1. Now, Chase had 12 red zone targets. I know it's a different thing because he can catch it at his own 30 and go for a touchdown. But he had 12 red zone targets. Higgins had 11. And if you look at the touchdown, what is Chase? 750, 8-1? And you're getting 11 for T. Higgins. That's what I'm going with here. I think there's value considering he's not a tight end I usually like to go with. Not a running quarterback, not the best running back. Just give me T. Higgins. I don't think I sold it too well, but 11-1, first touchdown. Brother Bri, you got a longer shot than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the same way too. I've lost confidence here in some of my picks. But yeah, I'm going to go with some big QBs today. So I'm going to look at Burrow at 41-1. He's got two rushing touchdowns in the season. And Burrow's the type of quarterback, though, that he'll take what the defense gives you. You know, he's not afraid. It's funny. You would think a guy would be afraid after breaking his or shattering his knee. And he almost shattered his knee on like a false start the other day, too. He took a terrible hit. But even still, he'll run if he has to. And, again, I'm not saying, if you're outside the 5 or 10 yard line, he's probably not running it in. But there's always that chance on inside the five that you could get a touchdown here. I don't know if he's the type. I don't know if they would still risk him ever sneaking it from the half yard line. Probably not after that injury, but I could still see him dropping back and running one in.
Yeah. You know, they talk about that with Mahomes last week, right? With the third and what was the play?
Blake Bell, right? Got the,
It was really all because of that injury to 2 years ago, right? Against Denver when he did the quarterback sneak.
Right.
And he busted up his leg and they're like, they're never doing that again. So now they have to try all these gadget plays on that when you really know that he would be able to get it on the quarterback sneak, right? It's very strange. All right. Another one, Harry, you have a long shot here. What are we doing here, guys?
We should try to win these. Here. It's playoffs. Let's try something different here. I'm going to take Cincinnati's defense, special teams at 32-1. Why not? Cincinnati's defense has forced five turnovers in the playoffs, four picks, one fumble, giving up to 17 points per game, two playoff games so far. They forced 21 turnovers in the regular season, had a pick for a fumble, for a touchdown, a fumble return for a touchdown. And for the stat of the show, in Kansas City's last seven playoff games, the opposing team has scored the first touchdown in six of those seven games. Why not Cincy? Cincy's defense, 32-1.
Has any of those been defenses?
I guess the Steelers. The Steelers.
Steelers. That's right. I'm sorry. Steelers, okay. All right. All right. All right. Parlay kid.
Yes, so I think you're selling us a bit short. I still think we're probably up 80 plus units. Yeah, because we were in the hundreds. All right. So even if
Harry got
half of the 28 back, right? So we lost 28 in a row, but Harry basically
We lose three. Well, yeah.
But almost half it back. So
all right. Oh, yeah. We're 80 units.
Yeah, we're probably around 80. I got to do it first, but we're probably
And I think what made Harry successful last week is he kept it simple. So I'm kind of surprised he's going this route. So I'll keep it simple here, and I'll take McKinnon at plus 750 because I think one of us has to have, a back here.
Something reasonable.
And I think, look, McKinnon's had 35 touches in these two playoff games so far for the Chiefs. He's a threat through the air, and he's a threat on the ground. He didn't score last game, but he had scored the two previous games before that. What an addition for the Chiefs here. He's been an excellent find for them. So I'll roll with him, and I'll take my chances there. So I'll keep it simple with this one.
All right, you take your chances. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with the NFC Championship. All right, NFC Championship. This is the late afternoon game. Actually, about 6:30 Eastern time? Rams are home. 3.5-point favorite. 46 is the over-under against the 49ers. You know what? Let's hear our Better Edge song because this is the Better Edge game of the week.
You get the edge. You get the glory. You're the winner.
What a great song. What a great song and a great game. Rams 3.5, 46 over the 49ers at SoFi. My Better Edge goes to the San Francisco 49ers. This team has been my betting kryptonite. Parlay kid, you know I had them. We bet the Cowboys against the 49ers. We went even heavier on the Packers against the 49ers. But guess what? They're also Sean McVay's kryptonite in real life. Six in a row, San Francisco is taken from LA. That is a real thing. Their defense is real. It's ridiculous. We've gotten too used to Stafford being too good. It doesn't make any sense. The truth is he's had three interceptions versus the 49ers this year. Bosa, Armstead, pestering monsters. D'Amico Ryans is going to have a head coaching job next year. Right now, he leads this defense, and he's going to do it again. And Jimmy G will be just good enough, with a lot of help from Deebo Samuel and Elijah Mitchell, to put away the Rams for a third time. Cover up. Kelly Stafford will be flinging pretzels by the dozen. I'm taking San Francisco plus 3.5. They win the game 24-20. Harry, what's your Better Edge?
Sal, I'm with you. I'm going to take San Fran, but I'm going to buy it up to four. First off, look, the Niners defense is playing off the charts. They held the third-ranked offense, Dallas's offense, to one passing touchdown. Green Bay, zero touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, zero at home. You mentioned, Sal, that McVay, Darren's guy, 0-6 against San Francisco, almost losing by 10 points a game over that stretch. And look, Stafford against the 49ers this year, four picks. I don't know. That seems like it might be too much of a thing here for Stafford. You mentioned Jimmy G. He's going to stay composed, manage the game. Kittle and Deebo do their part. Mitchell and let's get a good game out of Ayuk too. He had a nice game against Dallas. He led them in receiving yards that game. San Francisco plus four. They get it done again.
All right, brother Bry, you like it just 3.5. Not buying it up like Harry.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, but my Better Edge goes to the 49ers plus 3.5. Like you guys already said, Shanahan has gotten the best of McVay. And, you know, this 49ers defense, like you said, it's been amazing for most of the season, especially recently. And they've proven they don't really need to be playing too well to pull these games out. They'll slow down the run and they'll be able to put some pressure on Stafford here. So I think this comes down to a field goal, so I'm going to take the 3.5.
All right, Parlay Kid going against us here. Probably
again.
Smart.
Again, my better edge goes to the Rams here.
Dayton Darren.
At -3.5. Listen, my good friend Sean McVay, of course I trust. McVay gets over the hump here. This is what these coaches do, right? They break down the barrier. They get over the hump. This is it. This is his game versus Shannon. This means a lot. He has a lot to prove here. Not since Eli Manning has a quarterback been able to play such mediocre football like Jimmy G and win football games here.
It's true.
That comes to an end as Stafford, who I have maligned over the years, outplays Jimmy G. He's the better quarterback. He is ready for this moment. He gets it done. The Rams cover the 3.5.
All right. Wow. Parley Kid is just so in love with Cooper Kupp. We're going to have a dual engagement. Harry and Angie and Parley Kid and Cooper Kupp. Get ready. Get those rings.
And
get
McVay's the pretzels, Kelly Stafford.
There you go. All right. The Edge is brought to you by Better Edge, the no-fee sports betting marketplace. That's right. BetterEdge.com does not charge a VIG or fee on any bet. If you haven't had the chance to check out Better Edge yet, the NFL playoffs, great time to do so. Only a couple games left. They've increased the sign-up for $20. $20 you get signing up for Better Edge at BetterEdge.com. Users are loving their no-fee markets and competitions. Join Better Edge now to get in on their wild card weekend pick 'em for a chance to win more cash. All right, what do we do now? Oh, we go to props. Now, listen, I know Stafford's been terrific, but Harry, I think he has 3 interceptions, not 4 against the 49ers. You had 4?
I'm pretty sure it was 4.
I thought it was 3. Well, I think he's got another one in him. To throw an interception is -105. He had 4 games in a row before these playoffs, before he righted the ship, where he threw an interception. 49ers, ball hawking. They know how to tip passes. I think the Rams play from behind a little bit. And even if the Rams win, it's likely he throws one. He's tied for the most, and he's playing a great defense who's familiar with him. So just that alone should tell you that one of his 30 passes, 35 passes, should land in the hands of a 49ers defender. I'm going Stafford to throw an interception, -105. Parlay Kid, what do you like?
Well, Sal, you know, I'm going to my old reliable here, Sal. You know, my first one, I'm taking a prop within the game itself that both teams to score 1 plus touchdown in each half at +174 here, Sal. This is the largest number I've seen for this prop. Like, for example, in the KC game, it's like -124 or something like that. This is +174. I know because the 49ers are playing in this game, that's why this number is where it's at. But we're talking about, you know, beautiful, you know, nice conditions, obviously, here in this stadium. Perfect for high-scoring games. And so I think you had brought something up about this game traditionally as a high-scoring game.
What did we say, Brian? 13-4-1 against the spread, the NFC Championship.
12-3-1. 12-3-1. Yep.
It's even better.
Was that the spread of the over?
On the over.
On the over, right? That this game is traditionally a high-scoring game. So why not here? I think this both teams are going to manage a touchdown here. +174. Really good value. If I do lose it, you know what's going to happen. It'll be probably San Fran in the first half doesn't score or something like that. But I'm willing to risk it at that value here, Sal.
All right. Now it'll be San Francisco in the second half. They'll be up 35-0 and we'll 35-7 and it won't matter. All right. Kupp, Bri, I like this. I mean, I like the Tyreek Hill over longest reception.
Yeah. I mean, it's a high number. So I'm going to go with Kupp over 20.5 longest reception. You know, I love the Stafford longest pass too, but the Kupp one's been fantastic. It's actually been even better. Kupp went over this multiple times last week. He's gone over this he's gone over this number and usually way over this number in 7 of his last 8 games. Again, the thing with Kupp, though, he's a guy who could beat you deep for 40. He could turn a 10-yard pass into 30. But yeah, I love this one over 28.5.
Pretty good. Pretty damn good. All right, Harry, got some 49ers props here.
Yeah, I mean, Deebo Samuel, anytime touchdown at -105 in the playoffs. He scored against Dallas. He had 14 touchdowns in the regular season, scored 3 of those touchdowns in 2 games versus the Rams. Mm. And he has scored in 4 of his last 5 games against LA. So give me Deebo anytime touchdown, -105. And Elijah Mitchell, over 72.5 rushing yards, minus 114. Very underrated back. Averaged 75 so far through the playoffs. Had 96 against the Cowboys. Has 44 carries in the two playoff games combined. Had 85 and 91 in both games against the Rams this season. Five of his last seven, he's gone over 70, 73 or more. He's gone for 85 or more this season eight times and 100 or more, five. Elijah Mitchell, over 72 and a half.
All right, Harry, so you're going San Francisco, Cincinnati, right? I'm trying to figure this out, right? So that's, and they say that was the highest rated Super Bowl of all time. Did we discuss this? That first San Francisco, Cincinnati? Brian, you might not have even been born. That first one, 81, or was it probably January 82, which is weird, Parley Kid, right? Because I talked about this with Simmons. Montana wasn't even really Montana then. I mean, obviously it was good, but it was going to be, on his way,
Kenny Anderson, right?
Kenny Anderson.
Yeah, Kenny Anderson.
People tuned in to see Kenny Anderson and
one of the worst helmets of all time.
And Pete Johnson. Like, I don't know. I think we figured it out though. It was the year before cable, right? It was a year not before. I mean, cable TV existed, but I kind of think that's probably when everybody got it, right? Around 82, 83. That had to be why there was bigger draws than that over the years, right?
Man. So Harry, they just had the C on their helmet. Is that what Cincinnati had at that time?
Is that what it was?
I don't know.
Didn't it spell out Bengals?
Did it say that? Yeah, maybe you're right.
Was it that back
Darren,
then?
Wasn't the game before the AFC Championship was against the Chargers when it was freezing?
Chargers.
Right?
Yeah, that was a freezing cold game.
That was that really cold game.
All right, now I'm lost. I don't know who hasn't gone yet.
Well, I still have another one here, Sal.
Me
I have,
too. Go ahead.
Odell, anytime touchdown at plus 135. Mm-hmm. Odell has been... you know, pretty magnificent addition to the Rams. And he's been a touchdown threat. Six touchdowns here. He's been always a threat on by the goal line. A cup will draw the attention. Odell gets one. Odell, anytime touchdown, plus 135.
Yeah, I know. Spaghetti loves. Go ahead, Spaghetti. I know you hate. All the Giants fans hate this when we make fun of Eli. We say he's playing mediocre. We're comparing him to Jimmy G. Go ahead.
No, I just Haslinger from my guy. Just the four game stretch in 2011, he was pretty damn good. He was good that season and next regular season too. That was the 11-1 year before Plaxico shot himself. So, but he was money then.
Eddie, yeah, but you were very Eddie, young. There were a lot of underthrown passes that were caught, and so I don't expect you to remember.
That's not true. And by the way, Eddie, I think more than anything, Darren's ripping on Eli right now because I think Darren's realizing that Eli Manning's commercials are funnier than Tony Romo's.
Please. You're the same guy who wanted Manning out.
The Doritos commercial is hilarious.
Eddie, he wanted Nat.
Frank's Red Hot. Who was it, Brian?
The Syracuse kid, Nassib, right?
Yeah, Nassib.
Nassib.
Yeah. He was calling for him to start over Eli Manning. This is what, so don't listen to him.
A year before everybody else, too. Long before.
Listen, he never got a chance. Who knows what he could have done?
Eddie probably was too. Eddie, be honest, right?
Nassib should have beat Lawrence. Should have beat Lawrence 3 years ago. Should have beat Lawrence in the game against Clemson.
The hell does that have to do with anything?
Eli was the most frustrating quarterback to root for because he would have stretches of mediocrity, and then he'd have a couple of games where he'd bring the team back from like a 2 minute drive, right. And you're like, all right, that's why I like him. And like I said, that stretch, his 2 year stretch in 2011, 2012, he was as good as you could really be. And unfortunately, the Plaxico incident kind of ruined that from a back-to-back Super Bowl chance.
That was it. He had two great playoff years. He really did. But Pauly Kid, we make fun of Eli. We make fun of Big Ben towards the end of their career. Was anything more frustrating than rooting for Aikman the last like year and a half? With the maybe even more.
Yeah, but
you know, dumb passes to Moose Johnston. Just he really could get anything going. That never was the worst.
Always. You know where Aikman ranks for us, Sal. Aikman was he was good for the time, but
right,
he was not a. I don't know. Probably
our favorite.
Right. Probably. I'm not sure if he was even a Hall of Famer. To be honest,
not as good as Sims.
Right. I watched. When we're watching the Cowboys 49ers, I know we're getting off track here, and I was like, and Romo's calling the game, and I'm like, oh man, what if it could have been him? Now he's an older man. He's 41, 40, almost 42. What if it was him out there? Would he have won the game? We start thinking these dumb things, and then you know, a parlay kid. I watched him against. I watched him watch Allen and Mahomes, and he was so excited, and he seemed so happy. And I'm like, I feel good for this guy. He's going to call the AFC Championship for the next 20 years, and he gets these great quarterbacks to watch and marvel over, and he doesn't have to get injured. So Good for him. It's fine.
Hey, Dez is calling for him to be the Cowboys offensive coordinator. So yeah, maybe that will happen.
He doesn't need it. He doesn't remember. I have a Beckham prop too here, over 50 and a half yards. Even though I'm taking the 49ers here. Cup, I know, has gone over 100 the last two against the 49ers. I'm going to have to force a few to Beckham. He has 6.5 targets per game over the last four. 69 yards, 54 yards in the last two. They're going to have to throw to win. That's all I'm going to say about that. Beckham over 50 and a half. Bri, you got one more, right?
Yeah, and can somebody look up what the hell Harry was talking about? Did he say something about Nassib and Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, what are you talking about? This is years ago.
There was like a 10-year age difference.
Oh, yeah. 10.
Maybe I need to smoke today. I mean, I didn't smoke today.
I thought that sounded wrong. And I'm like, maybe we're thinking a different quarterback.
I was like, there must have been a more, that must have been like.
He should have beat Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is 7 years old. Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Jimmy G under 228.5. Even though I like the 49ers to cover in this game, I think they'll be creative. They'll want to run the ball a lot. Jimmy G's averaging 150 yards passing per game in the playoffs. Actually, in his five playoff games in his career, he's never gone over 219 yards passing. And it took a huge ending in that last matchup. You know, he had that big game the last time they played. Yeah. And went over 300 yards. But that all came down to the end of the game. For him, where he ended up going over there. I think they keep it simple. You know, especially if they take an early lead, they're going to just keep running the ball. So I think he's going to go under 228.5.
All right. There you go. Now, first touchdown pick. So we're somewhere between 80 units and 77 units, somewhere there above. We're in the black. We made you money. Boy, did we get screwed on this last week, though, with the Rams,
so
right?
Bad.
We were inside the five. Who do we add? We had Akers, we had Higby, Cup, we had Odell, Cup, and Cup. Those were our four. And who got it?
Akers had just gotten down. Blanton. To three.
Blanton? Yes.
The hell is that? 95-1, though, for Blanton. That's ridiculous.
Wow. Nuts.
Really crazy. And all right, here we go. I really feel gun shy here. I mean, this should be a good pick. And I'm taking him because he's due. George Kittle, 9-1. And it's been six games since he scored. But what a scare he would put into Rams early on, right? If he's wide open in the middle of the field, that's kind of how I see it. He has 10 catches on 14 targets last week. Red zone targets, 8. He's caught all of them, half for touchdowns. I think they get down early. I think he gets the first touchdown. 9-1 odds. Harry, you got a receiver there. Ball catcher, I should say, for the 49ers as well.
Yeah, went with the Bengals at 32-1. I'm going to go with wide receiver from the Niners, Juwan Jennings, at 35-1. Jennings, a couple years, Johnny Knoxville's probably a big fan of his, led the Volunteers in touchdowns 2 years ago. He had five touchdowns this season, had a first touchdown of the game against the Eagles. But more importantly, he had his best game of the year in week 18 against the Rams. He had 6 catches on 7 targets, 94 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that game. Let's go Jennings at 35-1. I'm going to go with 2 long shots here.
Yeah, I mean, Harry just, he won a couple last week. He's like, I'm done. I don't need to win. It's all gravy here. I'll go Cincinnati 30-1 and Juwan Jennings 35. He's done. He's
good. Well, Cincinnati too. Last time I took a team on the defensive special teams that has orange in their uniform, I had the Dolphins and they won. So that's why I'm going Cincinnati.
I apologize.
I gave out Jennings. I either gave out Jennings 2 weeks ago or last week, and you said who?
I did. See?
No, it sounded.
oh, that's right. I did. Yeah. Well, listen, I know who played Trevor Lawrence in the last 3 years. That's all I know. All right. Brother Bri, who do you want?
Yeah. So I was looking at this and it's funny. I'm sticking with the quarterbacks here, these immobile quarterbacks, but I was looking at Stafford at 49-1. You know, he's scored in 2 straight games here in the playoffs with the rushing touchdown. And the funny thing is, like, again, this is one of those, like, if they get inside the one, it seems like he's going to sneak the ball. That's just how their offense has been recently. I think he'll sneak it. But again, granted, they have to be on the 1 yard line or inside the one. He probably is not going to get any other touchdown possible after that just because he doesn't run enough. But I do think inside the one, QB sneak, you get 49-1 up it.
Parlay Kid, you go with Higby last week? You did,
yeah,
right?
I go with Higby off and Sal, but especially this week, his odds are a little I think they were 13-1 last week. They're 11-1 now. That might be partially because in the two games against San Fran this year, Higby does have three touchdowns against them. Mm-hmm. And if you've been watching closely the last 2 weeks, he's caught a ball in the open and has been tackled at the five both times right before the first touchdown has been scored. He's close. He's getting closer and closer. He matches up pretty well with San Fran. I think, you know, San Fran will do their best, I think, at times to really curtail Kupp and Beckham, which they won't be able to really, but which early in the game, it might be, leave Higbee some really good opportunities. So I'll take him at 11-1.
All right, let's hit one of these, huh? Get back into the plus 100 units there.
Heck, either way,
everyone, get in on the action with a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm urging you. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. All customers get up to $10 back if your same game parlay does not win. Same game parlays let you combine multiple bets from one matchup for a big payout. Harry's been bragging about how he does all these same game parlays, winner after winner. You can combine bets on the money line, point spread, player stats, and so much more. Let's talk about one. Let's make one from this Rams game. Let's do... let's go 49ers, bought to plus +4, Stafford to throw an interception, and then parlay kid, we'll put one of your Rams stuff in there. Odell, anytime touchdown? Something like that?
Yeah, go ahead.
8-1. Yeah, pays about probably 8-1, 850.
Yeah.
Right there, just do it like that. It's a market leader, America's number one sports book. Easy to use, easy to place your bet. Fast payouts in as little as 2 hours. And if you already have an account, just place your risk-free same-game parlay on either conference championship game to qualify. New customers join today with promo code against the odds to get your risk-free bet. Plus, if it's your first time betting with FanDuel, you can enjoy 30-1 odds on any team in the conference championships to win after using promo code against the odds. Turn $5 into $150. A smart money bet would be the Chiefs for that one. That's promo code against the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. All right, we still have this kid. We want to talk to Jacob Russ, who ran on the field. I think he got arrested. We're going to ask him. I have a million questions to ask him. I don't know if he even speaks. Yeah, he may have broken his jaw. We saw how Diggs laid him out. But we're going to try to talk to him. Anyway, before that, let's hit the Sharp Tank. Your best bets for the weekend. Look at this. They're all football, Parlay Kid. All football.
Yeah, I was thinking about going golf, but I decided football here, Sal. Why not, right? All big right. Weekend. One of the best football. Maybe the... Is this better than the Super Bowl this weekend? I don't know. Sometimes
well,
it
I like Latin. No, not even, last because, week, not right? even yeah. because...
I know, last because week, too. I know. Yeah.
I well, like the last
well,
week.
Last yeah. week more than lived up to its billing. So, I'm going... Keeping it simple, Sal. I'm going the favorites on a moneyline parlay. Rams, Chiefs, minus 102 on the money line right there. Both favorites. I don't know. I know you guys are on the dogs here, but at least I'm not sure. I think you both, all of us, except for Harry, probably think that the Rams and the Chiefs win, though. I think I'm getting that impression. Mm-hmm. So. Let's run it. To me, it just I think it's just one of these games we look back and one of these weekends that was too easy. And speaking of that, Sal, didn't we say? I think it was you and Brian probably halfway through the season who said, "Are we going to look back and say we should have jumped on the Chiefs at this point when the odds?" Remember, the Chiefs said, "I think at one time, right, Brian? I think." We were talking
about... I forget what they were.
I'll take credit for that.
When I don't Chiefs was say really, really going out credit. On a limb there, Darren.
No, but they really? Were 5-4, right. weren't they? What were they?
Come on.
They were like 5-4. Oh, wait, for my parlay?
Oh, no, I'm saying Sal and Brian aren't really going out on a limb.
Well, who knows when it was? I don't know. It could have been when they were playing poorly. Hey, I told you, I don't know if I want to out him here, but I'm going to. Stephen Amell, friend of the show, has him at 17-1. I'm not going to say how much. Guy that never bets called me up before the hit me up before the Monday night game. Rams Cardinals. Very nice. That's the way to do it. 17-1, and the parlay kid agreed. It's going to be Rams Chiefs. All right, yep. Brother Brian, what do you like?
Yeah, well, that Rams Chiefs. That's I mentioned that's Trev's dream, right? He's
our friend Trevor.
That's his dream.
from both friends with all the owners.
I think he is. Yes, it's true. But yeah, I looked at, I know Harry likes this one, but I was looking at a Von Miller sack at minus 102, pretty much even money here. He's been phenomenal over the last 2 months, 2.5 months, I would say. You know, he's had a sack in 6 straight games, 7 total sacks in that span. He had a real good game against the 49ers a few weeks ago. And, you know, the thing is, even Jimmy G, you know, there's games, you know, the 49ers gave up a lot of sacks. Some of that is on Jimmy G, but the Packers twice in both Packers games, they sacked them 4 times. In the Bengals and Cardinals games, they sacked them 5 times. I think, you know, one thing about this Rams D line is it's so hard to double anyone other than Donald. So I think that benefits Von Miller here, getting even money for the sacks. I love that.
All right, Harry, you also have a sack prop in here.
Yeah, another defensive prop play here. Did hit my sharp tank last week, but Cup over 125 yards, wound up with 183. So let's go for another one here. I'm going to go defensive end for the Niners, Eric Armstead, to record a sack at plus 172. This guy shows up in big games, 5 sacks in 5 career playoff games, was all over Rodgers last week, had 2 against him. He had 1 against Dak. He had 2.5 sacks in week 18's win against the Rams. He's got 6 total sacks in his last 4 games. Eric Armstead, plus 172 seems pretty good here.
I think I'm going to go with you, Harry. I'm going to go with you. I do think, and even when he didn't get a sack, he was so close to Aaron Rodgers. You know, now I'm envisioning that again. What a dick Aaron Rodgers is. What a dick. How did he not win that game? Unbelievable. I'm just going through it, rolling through it in my mind. All right, Harry, I'm going plus 172. And all right, let's bring the kid on. This is a guy that ran on the field. He's here, Meatballs. He's in the waiting room. Let's bring him on. All right, here he is on Sunday. Our guest made one of the best plays of the entire Chiefs-Bills game, and his name is not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. Nope. What he did might be even more impressive. Let's get in here. Jacob Bross, what's happening, Jacob?
Hello. How are you?
We're doing well. I mean, it's good to see you're in good spirits. So, all right, take us through this. You ran on the field, nationally televised game. You're a big Chiefs fan, right?
Yes, that is so.
Okay.
Born and raised.
And did you? Born and raised. All right. How old a man are you?
I'm 20 years old, going on 21 here in August.
Yep, maybe. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, if you live this reckless life, who knows? All right. So, but you're in the stands. Now, did you plan this before the game, or this is something on a whim?
It was just a. On a whim, just a spontaneous idea. And it was my buddy Nick's idea, actually. And he proposed it to my other friend, and they came together, and then they came up to me.
And they came up to you, and they offered you money, right?
Yes. They offered me $1,000 to run on the field. And
nice. And you weren't anywhere close to the field, right? I mean, this was a ways to go.
Yes. I was in the nosebleeds, and it's not that far of a hike than it seems.
Right. But did you know on your way down? Because you kind of, it does take a little bit of while to zigzag your way down there. But I was doing the math on it because I saw the challenge video, and then we saw you on the field. Did you have any hesitation, or were you like, I just got to get down there and do it?
Oh yes, I had hesitation. Okay. So I went down to the first row at around 6 minutes in the fourth quarter. And I just walked right past the security guard and just walk on down like nothing. And I get to the very front, and I'm just scoping out the area, checking out where the security guards are positioned, and just, you know, just really, really thinking this thing over. And, This is where I really started to contemplate what I'm about to do. So I call my buddy Trent again and tell him and be like, Are you sure you're gonna give me this money? And they're like, actually, no, we're gonna back out on that deal. And what? I said, doesn't matter, I'm doing it anyway. So long story short, I'm just gonna elaborate. So I go back up there and tell them I'm going to do this. And then I run right back down there. We're about 4 minutes left, and I get right back to the same spot, but I don't know, the security kind of cleared up. So I had a clear open spot, and I get to the very front, and you have mind you, you have people standing shoulder to shoulder at the very front edge. I'm just thinking how I'm going to get through these people, or, you know, and I don't want anybody to yank me back. So I just hoist my leg up onto an empty chair, and I place my right hand on this man's shoulder, and I use him as leverage to mount over the wall. And
oh, wow. You launched yourself.
Yes.
No kidding.
How far of a drop was it?
I'd say it's a good 7 foot drop, maybe 8 foot drop.
All right. So you don't bang up your knee too bad, right?
Right.
You get right. Cause if you stumble, like someone's going to see you, and then that's that. Nobody sees you right on the field.
Yes.
Right. So you just kept going. You run on the field. Now, did you have a plan from there when you got on the field, or are you just going to run in circles, or were you going to do a touchdown dance, or what was the plan?
My plan was to try to provoke, I don't know, maybe provoke some of the players, but yeah, try to get as far as I could. But the reason that's the reason why I ran towards the players. It looked like I was running towards the ball, but I was in such a fugue state. I had so many thoughts racing through my mind. All I could think about was just run straight. I didn't even see Diggs coming. And I wanted to see if any players are making sudden movements, and I'd try to put my moves on them. But unfortunately, Diggs was too quick.
Diggs got you, and thank you for that, because I bet Stephon Diggs over a half a tackle. And so that was, it looked like he was going to get one.
I got more yards than him, too. But
yeah.
yes.
All right. So he takes you out, and the offensive lineman, number 73, what's his name? Deion Dawkins takes your shoe. At some point, your shoe fell off, right?
Both of them. Yes.
You're running so fast, you ran out of your shoes?
Yeah. 73 chucks my shoe into the crowd, and Frank Clark picks up my other shoe and tries like handing it to me, but I was obviously able to handle the security. And,
here we go. We're going to see it here. Meatballs, yeah, play it here. Okay. You seem to have your shoes at this point. You're on the 20-yard line. Oh, it's all messed up.
I got to the 25.
You got to the 25.
Yes.
And then Dawkins, both your shoes are off. That's the weirdest part of this whole thing. Yeah.
You see Clark trying to hand it back.
Yeah, Clark's being a good dude. And Dawkins, not so much. They have you in a chokehold. Ooh. Unnecessary. Now, is alcohol involved at this point? I imagine it is, right?
No, sir.
No, really?
Wow.
Look at you. You're being let off. All right. We're pretty gentle once you get to the sideline. Oh, no, no. This one's grabbing your arm. How was that? They're rushing you off the field there.
Oh, I look at all of the fans, and I see most of them just cheering me on. And that was just a... That was a great feeling in itself, and I that's why I was flailing my legs, you know, to just maintain the scene. But
yeah,
What was the score of the game at this time, Sal? What was the score?
It was like 4 minutes left, right?
Yeah. This was fourth. When I ran on the field, it was fourth and one. This was the play that was going that decides everything, you know. Determines the fate of the game.
Yeah, that's the time to do it.
Sounds like you spurred this team on. I mean, I think it should be a local legend.
I think the Bills scored right after it, though, right?
Yes. All right, and another thing. All right, so they dragged me into the holding cell in the stadium, and luckily, I had a window right in my door, and I was able to watch the rest of the game through the TV.
Thank God.
Yes. And
I mean, to me, that's what they should have done. I mean, did you spend the night in jail or no?
No, I spent about 2.5 to 3 hours in jail.
Oh, you did? Okay. Mm-hmm. 3 hours in jail. And did your buddies bail you out? I mean, 3 hours in jail, they pretty much let you out, right? Yes.
Yeah. My buddy bailed me out.
And you never got the $1,000. You never got any money?
Okay. So my buddy, I told him, I was like, where's my money? I was like, give me something. And he's like, I'll take you on this trip to Colorado that we're going to this week, and all expenses paid. I was like, all right. Okay.
Oh, nice. Great. Are you going to run on the ice at an Avalanche game? What's the plan for that?
Okay. Diggs kind of deadened my left leg, so I'm kind of
limited
to activity. But hopefully I'm healed up by then. But anyway.
I mean, they at least have to give you a new pair of shoes. You never got that one shoe back, right? Or did you?
Here's the craziest thing, guys. All right. A stranger hits me up, says, give me your information, and he's sending a brand new pair of shoes my way. And another guy hits me up asking me if I want a free tattoo. I sold my jersey, the jersey I was wearing. And my gloves and my pants. Someone bought those for $90.
Oh my God. Whoa. This is crazy. You got more.
Is that Joel?
Deal
is that Joel?
Guy who got yeah, babyface Joel Solomon gets collects t-shirts here. That's great. The guy who got Brady's 600th touchdown didn't make out as well as you. Well, you got tackled. You did get beat up for
the shoe that 73 threw.
Yeah,
a local fan sold that for $500 to, so I don't know.
Local fan run on the field to get your shoe. Wow! Yeah.
So that's it tells you how crazy that game really was.
So there's a lot of money to be made in the running on the field illegally business, is what you're saying. The positive thing.
It, honestly, it's not even about the money. It's about the memory. You know, I don't care if I have a dime to my name.
You might have different memories of prison if you were in a different city, but it worked out for you, especially that you got. Yeah. I was about to call you a moron for not, you didn't see the ending, although you weren't in the stadium. I bet your friends thought that was cool, but was it just as gratifying seeing it through the window of the holding cell you were in?
It was a whole different energy because you have a dozen officers sitting, standing there too, in silence, right after they scored on us. They all looked back at me. And then go back to the TV. And this was just a high tense moment right here. I'm just pacing around in the cell. What have I done?
Well, man. Jacob, I don't know what's next for you. Dancing with the Stars, The Bachelor. Do you have anything to promote?
We were thinking about promoting some merch for the championship and hopefully the Super Bowl to come. And
okay, but you probably don't have that information right now.
What?
Yeah. Do you know how you're going to do that? Or you just want to say, hit you up? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I got a couple of buddies that are going to help me out. But,
okay. Well, Babyface Joel Solomon has your contact information, so people should reach out to him, and they'll get through to you through him, and then you'll hopefully sell all your clothes. Well, the next time we see you, you'll be new. The Super Bowl. Very good. Thanks for coming on, Jacob. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks, Jacob.
It was great meeting you guys and talking with you. And hey, tell Jimmy I said hi, please.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
All right,
nice.
Jacob. Thanks, Jacob.
Go Chiefs.
Take care.
Go Chiefs.
Take care. Go Chiefs. All right. Jacob Ross, look at that. There you go. He outdid Antonio Brown. Congratulations.
That's he was good. I liked him.
I wanted to hate him, but I liked him immediately. Right?
Yep.
That was good. Harry, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You should be doing this every week.
Really. I don't know. Wasn't I supposed to do that Jimmy Kimmel ball? I was supposed to run out on the field. I just didn't have the courage.
Reminded me of the time
you didn't have the courage.
Kind of reminded me of the time when we were at the beach coming home from Robert Moses, and we dared Harry to get out naked and run to the car behind us. Like, so
he kind of did, right?
No, he did. But the problem was, is he thought that like you guys were right behind us. Whoever was there, Harry was with. It was me, Harry, and Finken.
Right.
And we said that, you know, Harry, we dare you to. You know, take, you know, it was packed, right? So you're in like standstill traffic. Harry,
back
run to
then, the dares, it wasn't even money. We'll give you money. It's like, you don't do this. Yeah, you're
just,
not getting
it was
a ride
just
home.
A dare. Yeah. There was nothing involved. Yeah. Harry, go ahead. Yeah. You know, naked, run to the car behind us. One car, go. Well, Harry gets out of the car. Fake and locks the door, and the car is like 100 cars behind us. Harry's got to run. He's got to run like 200 yards to the next car to find the car. Naked. People honking.
I've never been there before, so I don't even know what I'm doing.
He doesn't know how many cars are behind
screaming
him. He's never
at
been
him.
There before.
They got their kids in their car.
Sal's first Melissa was there too.
Angie's a lucky lady.
Man.
Really lucky lady. All right. Jacob Ross. Good job by him. Oh, I forgot to ask if he was banned, if he'll ever go back, if he could ever go back. You can't ban anybody, right? How? We don't have chips in our scalps, despite what people think. How could you really, especially with these cold games, everyone's bundled up. They're not checking IDs, are they? How could
Harry's
you ban
been,
anybody?
Harry's banned from Vegas, so.
Well, that
I
believe.
I mean,
only some casinos, only some.
No, but how do they? Right, but if you walked in a casino and you had a mask on, and you know, like with 2 degrees, it's different. But I don't, how can it be? I should have asked him, but I assume that he's not banned. Harry, I expect you to run on many fields. We got to figure that out. What courage it took for Jacob Russ to do what he did. Yeah. All right. There you go. Excited for the weekend. We are running out of games, but we're going to get through it. We will be back on Monday to recap. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. Hit us up extrapoints.com/arcade, free to play games. Hit us up at the shop, buy an Against All Odds t-shirt. There's bed aches, all kinds of stickers and gear. Again, Against All Odds back Monday for spaghetti and meatballs and babyface Joel Solomon, Jacob Pruss, and the degenerate trifecta. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, na, na.